Welcome back. This podcast is scheduled for one fall. With a 60-minute time limit coming out of the black corner, a combined weight of 666 pounds, recording to you from the Lorna Shore. I'm your boy, Xander Hobbs. This is...
I'm Bobby B.
And once again, we're bringing another edition of the... Wrestleocalypse. It is upon us.
And before we jump into it, I do have a quick announcement. Disney, Apple, large corporations, if you have ad money that you're not going to be spending it X, the Wrestleocalypse is where you should put that money. We guarantee a return on investment. We are not ones who are going to get your image in trouble. We are upstanding gentlemen who just talk about the craft of the squared circle. So keep listening and we'll tell you where you can email us the routing numbers and the check numbers that you're going to be sending. We appreciate it.
I love it. What an intro. We have huge, huge news that we do have to go over. So let's not waste any more time and let's just get right into it.
Yeah, definitely. Santos Escobar defeating Dragon Lee, probably match of the night at Survivor Series, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, just the way he was able to separate himself from LWO and still be such a dominant force really blew my mind.
Right.
But at the end, there was some shenanigans at the end. Like, what was up with that?
Always shenanigans.
Yes, our guy, CM Punk. Fresh off of a year-long stint at a small, struggling independent promotion, returns to WWE with the surprise top of the night, end of Survivor Series. Shit went crazy. People went crazy. The media went crazy. People who casual fans, they tuned into YouTube. WWE's talking about crazy YouTube numbers, so.
Yeah, that actually surpassed the Logan Paul Ricochet spot that was in the Royal Rumble. So Phil already passed that up. I mean, he's still a big name and his fans love him to death. So I'm not surprised. I didn't think he'd be back, but I'm not surprised that he got the pop that he did.
Yeah, me either. You know, I question, like, it just seems to overshadow Randy Orton's return.
It did.
Dude's been away for a long time, victorious in the main event, last match, and like, Randy Orton's injuries were inflicted by the bloodline. CM Punk's injuries were inflicted by himself.
Right, correct.
So to come back like this conquering champion when Randy Orton is actually in the ring, just was kind of like, to me, it was like it just rubbed a little bit sand in the wound a little bit. But, you know, obviously there were a lot of rumors about one of the reasons why Vince is no longer in control was because he basically refused to sign CM Punk. I don't know if that's true. That's a lot of innuendo. There's probably only a few people who know if that's true. And it's, you know, the top of TKO and Hunter probably and Vince. But.
Well, if history serves it correctly, it's always like Triple H that brings these people back, these lapsed wrestlers back that said they weren't going to have anything to do with the company. He did it with Bruno Sammartino. He did it with the Ultimate Warrior. He did it with, I mean, he would have done it with Randy Savage if he didn't pass, probably. But, and, you know, Triple H with the guy that he had personal beef with, CM Punk, and CM Punk had beef with him, he brought him back. And like Triple H said, like, which made a lot of sense. He's like, I'm not the same guy I was 10 years ago. CM Punk's not the same guy he was 10 years ago. I don't believe that. But, I mean, he's got that correct. And if it's best for business, Triple H really does that. So WWE's got a stacked roster right now.
Yeah.
Back and Punk.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think we'll talk a little bit about what's going on with storylines because that fed right into Raw. I thought Raw was great. I mean, I guess, well, I don't want to jump ahead. So that was the biggest thing, the main event, CM Punk coming back. But the women's War Games was really good. A lot of good storytelling, moving the damage control story along. You know, I always wonder, it's always disheartening much like the men's, when you have the ragtag group of people who hate each other but are coming together for the common cause of beating up this other faction, and they, you know, they win. But obviously this was a good way to get Bianca Belair back in the mix, coming back, so that's good. Got Charlotte back on TV. I think everybody liked the intrigue on how it was going to work with Charlotte and Becky Lynch. The worst Jeopardy player on the planet, apparently, but that's what the interweb's telling me.
That's what the internet said.
Yeah, man. So I thought that I liked the women. I thought both War Games matches were good as matches.
They both delivered. If I had to pick one I liked better than the other, I liked the women's match slightly, not by much, but the men's delivered in other ways too. They both moved the storylines forward. So I'm glad that that happened, but we need to like start coming to a conclusion between Judgment Day, Bloodline, Damage Control, because I feel like these stories are starting to run their course.
Well, and they're like the same thing in a way.
They're all kind of the same. Like Bloodlines, you know, we have to see when Roman Reigns comes back, and they're not going to finish that up. He's not going to be back anytime soon. And Judgment Day, they need to do something different. Like, I'm enjoying the shows, don't get me wrong, but like, it's getting to the point where we got to see some like closure.
Yeah, I mean, pull the trigger, right? Like,
Like I said before, I just don't think they know what to do after they end these things, and then they didn't really prepare for it.
Yeah, definitely. But in both of the War Games matches, lots of people who may be making their appearance on the end of the year lists. Certainly Dom Mysterio as most improved. So we're going to be pulling that out. Just wanted to mention that. But yeah, overall Survivor Series wasn't bad. Wasn't fantastic either. It served a purpose. They got the big pop. They got the media. The media hit and the boost. And then Raw got a crazy number. And so obviously everyone wants to tune into Raw because they want to see CM Punk.
And Randy Orton.
Yeah, and Randy Orton. But like, probably not. Right? Like,
yeah, more so CM Punk, I guess. Just to be subjective.
Yeah, and the promo. They want to see the promo. Randy Orton's not going to give a great promo.
No, that was never his strongest suit.
His strongest suit is taking really deep breaths and looking all crazy.
Right.
So, and then, like, I don't know. I thought his promo was hot garbage, but I feel like no matter what he does, in my eyes, it just shows that he, like, I get that you can grow as a person, but he just seems like a fucking hypocrite. And, you know, that's not necessarily the worst thing to be. And I get it, but it just rubs me the wrong way that you fucking talk about, I left professional wrestling in 2008, and then a year later, I'm home. It's like, get the fuck out of here. Like, and so much of your fandom and your fans have stuck with you because you were at least consistent with how you talked and how you felt about WWE. And now it's like, oh, well, I want to stick it to Tony Khan. And Triple H is like, I want to stick it to Tony Khan because we're competitors in this business. And so that's how I felt about it. I am trying to keep an open mind, and I'm really going to try to see where this goes. I don't feel that CM Punk is at a point in his career where I want to see him. Like, I don't think he can put on a great match, right? So you really got to pick and choose who he can feud with and make it a good in-ring product. So
it needs to be with someone that can carry the match. Like, I'm not saying he can't put on a good match anymore, because that wouldn't be true. But I mean, we don't want to put him in there with like Dom, you know what I mean? Like, put him in there with Seth Rollins, which looks like it's going to happen. Or like, you know, I think they're like talking about putting him in a program with Reigns, which I really don't want to see. But
no, I don't want to see that either.
I'm okay with it as long as we can get some good matches out of it. And they have to really be careful with how they use this guy, because when he was in AEW, he seemed like he was injured every other match. So it just seems like he's at that age, because it's not just him. It's guys like Danielson, guys like Samoa Joe. I mean, shit, MJF like is injured too. So, you know, it's just sometimes, I don't know, like, we bag on WWE for like wrestling a style. But if you look at guys like Miz has never missed any time. He doesn't have the most exciting moveset, but it's safe. I mean, Orton, he was out because of wear and tear, but Orton's had one of like the most, not basic, but safest movesets, but it's still like explosive. You can still put on a good match without flipping around or doing anything unnecessary. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, for some of you guys out there, the flipping around is cool, but you know, it's more open for injury when you do stuff like that.
So. Yeah, man. It's like the bump card includes fucking botching your 450 splash. Like,
exactly.
You know?
And it's just like and these guys wrestle a lot of days a week. So like your body can only handle so much. So
yeah, I would definitely agree with that. So, I mean, I think they're going to be smart about it. I question the creative because I don't know where he fits in any storyline. So it'll be interesting to see. Raw didn't really make me feel like, I see what's going on. I see where this is going. So, and they've got a lot of fucking, they've got their work cut out for them, you know, like,
yeah.
Where's Cody Rhodes? What is this Cody Rhodes situation? Like Kevin Owens looks like he's going to be in Logan Paul, which I think is going to be a good feud. The mic work will be excellent. Kevin Owens is certainly good enough to get a good or great match out of Logan Paul. You know, so I liked that little thing. I like how he continues to beat up on Grayson Waller.
Yeah.
Like, that's just fun.
That's funny.
So I like returning to this type of character for Kevin Owens. So I really like that. I liked the Randy Orton piece to Raw.
The what?
The Randy Orton piece of competing for him to see if he's going to go to Raw or SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. And, we kind of knew that where he was going to sign, that was pretty obvious. I mean, Raw is already pretty stacked. They need to stack other people on SmackDown, and he needs to go after the Bloodline. So I get all that. But it was, both shows were good this week. I was thoroughly entertained. And it's good to have Randy Orton and CM Punk back.
Yeah, yeah. Overall, I would say so. And talking about another big possible return, I saw in the rumor mill, are talking about that Triple H may have been reaching out to one of the most prolific tag team champions of WWE. And that's none other than Mercedes Moné / Sasha Banks, which if she came back and teamed up with Bayley as a surprise to go after fucking Kairi Sane and Damage Control revenge style, I'm here for that.
That would be cool. That would be a nice little wrinkle in the storyline.
Yeah, and like, no offense to Randy Orton, he's coming back from a pretty major injury. It's questionable to see what his wrestling matches moving forward are going to look like, even if he did have safe style. And dude looks jacked, 100%. He was definitely hitting the weights. But still, it's like, you know, maybe he's not going to be on TV quite as often as we're used to. Maybe they're going to have to, you know.
It's probably how they should use him anyway. Like, because yeah. they have their workhorses and stuff right now, like Rollins and Owens and, you know, who Zane. Else? Zayn. Those guys are fine. Gunther.
Jay.
Yeah. They have plenty of guys who can hold down the fort right now. So if they sprinkle Randy Orton here and there, that'll make his that'll make people still like him. I'm not saying people sour on him, but, you know, when you see too much of someone, you get used to it. So it'll make Orton more special, which he is.
Yeah, but I still feel like Sasha Banks can go in the ring and get great matches, and it's kind of in her prime, you know.
She gets injured a lot too, though.
What's up?
She gets injured a lot too, though. She was injured during her last run in New Japan. She's still recovering from that. I'm just saying, like, sometimes people are injured. Sometimes people are made from glass, so. I'm not making fun of anyone, but like more people are injury prone than others. So I would love to see Sasha Banks return. Like, don't get me wrong.
And I would prefer her to go to WWE than to sign with AEW.
Then what?
Than to sign with AEW.
What's she going to do in AEW?
Like, I don't know. They can't figure out what they're doing in AEW. They did the right. They've got the right people with titles right now. We're going to talk about that. That's why it's a good segue. I was going to segue. You're like, you know, people are injury prone. I was like, you know who's not injury prone? John fucking Moxley. He doesn't feel pain. He doesn't feel injuries. You slap, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Canadian Destroyer doesn't fucking
matter.
He's John fucking Moxley, and he wins again. I don't like Mark Briscoe taking all these pins, man. I'm a big Mark Briscoe fan. I like him in the ring. I like his style. I like his, you know, we make fun of the people when they talk about men's bodies. I build, but like, he's agile but big.
Yeah.
So it, like, everything can be pretty convincing.
It's so. Just hard for me to watch his matches without Jay. Like,
yeah,
that's just it's hard. I still can't like really sit down and watch him. I did, but it's just like Jay's missing and he's not coming back. So, you know. I mean, MJF is injured with a torn labrum, so that's gonna be interesting to see how he defends his title. What is it, December 30th? On what is it, World's End?
Yeah, World's End against Samoa Joe, who's protecting him right now.
Yeah, they're saying that the guy behind the devil's mask could be Jack Perry, which would be totally anticlimactic.
There's also, did you see Bubba Ray Dudley's thing?
No, I didn't.
Just because this guy is pretending to attack, Max goes, I got attacked at my own wedding, just so people didn't know I was the leader of, you know, was it Aces and Eights?
Yeah, exactly. So,
I mean, that would definitely be a cool callback if somehow that's what it is. But I know it's not Adam Cole because that guy can't fucking walk.
He can't walk, yeah.
Right. And I know it was an MJF that night because they were in the same place.
That's true.
So I don't know. It's I guess it's cool.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it because I want to see what happens. I want to see what the reveal is. And it's just, let's just hope it's not like like a Mr. McMahon being the higher power back in the days. That was really lame. But like, it was me, Austin. It was me all along.
But the anonymous Raw manager.
Some good things about AEW is Julia Hart. Man, she's awesome. I mean, she's getting closer and closer to being my pick for most improved. She's pretty damn close.
Both her and Dom. They've won titles.
But like Julia Hart more so, I think, because she's doing it on her own. You know, Dom is surrounded by a lot of like people that allow him to succeed. Julia Hart's wrestling one-on-one matches and Brody King's out there, but like he's barely doing anything. Like, that's just where I'm looking at it right now. And she's putting on, her matches are getting better. Her mic work is good. She's hilarious. I mean, that when she did that thing on Hey EW with that one guy, it was pretty funny. But I'm just stoked how much she's improving. The glad that something's going right in this company.
Yeah, and the crowd seems really behind her, which is cool, right?
That
it's like
always a
bonus. You always worry if the snarks are going to come out and can poison the crowd and like, but they were into it. So I like that. I agree with that. I don't understand. And just maybe they're going something with this, but it's like, I guess what Edge and Christian are going. I don't think they're going to wrestle. I think this is all fucking hype. They cannot have them wrestle before World's End.
No, I mean, something's going to happen.
But like maybe what's his name? Blackjack, Killswitch Engage. Killswitch, right? That's Luchasaurus's new name.
Killswitch.
Yeah, which
He just got taken out though.
I know, but like, Edge, I don't know what's gonna happen.
Edge took out Nick Wayne, and then he took out Killswitch
with the Concertos, right?
Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, he's not gonna go. If he fucking wrestles, if they actually have a wrestling match, and I have to read some goddamn article about. I always love Tony Khan's the best. He gives away free pay-per-view matches. I'm going to just pull my hair out. I hate that. Don't do that.
Yeah, I don't.
You're going to charge us $60 and give us 5 hours of wrestling. I want to see Christian Cage and Adam Copeland for the first time in this crazy huge match. Like, you got the build. You got time to build.
There is time. Like, so, I don't understand why they won't put that on World's End.
Maybe they will next week, right? Maybe that's what it is. They'll have something go down and then it's going to be some fucking crazy stipulation. I don't want that either.
They should just have a straight up match.
Yeah. Like a real pay-per-view match.
And I mean, you know, Tony Khan though, he's going to book it backwards and then, you know, we'll be back to square one. That's just what he does. He can't, he thinks what he's doing is like good, but, and nobody has the balls to tell him what he's doing is like the opposite.
Yeah, very much so. But I liked the main event quite a bit.
Awesome match.
Yes, two of the top
Top and up and coming talents in AEW. That Swerve Strickland and the Switchblade Jay White. I'm glad Strickland got the W. He needed it more than Jay White. I don't want Strickland to win this tournament, though, because I think he should be going after the AEW title. You feel me?
Yeah, I feel you. But perhaps the creative at AEW doesn't feel that people like him as much as we do. So they're trying to build him, and they want to build him in.
He gets good pops.
Yeah, like, no.
Comes out.
The whole thing with the what is his faction's name?
The Mogul Embassy.
The Mogul, yeah. And that's just like, I don't know. I don't think they needed all of that, but
I mean,
the dancing guy's cool. Prince Nana
is cool. And then I like Brian Cage, but he barely does anything. And then I don't know who the two other guys are. But I don't think he's not known by his affiliation with the stable. Right. He can stand on his own. The stable doesn't speak for him. But I like the push he's been getting.
Yeah, me too.
He had an awesome feud with Hangman Adam Page. Now he's in this tournament for these meaningless titles, but he's winning the matches and he's doing what he's supposed to. So I can't get too mad at that.
I definitely agree. The Continental Cup is a bit of a strange thing, but it looks like it's right now Moxley and Strickland are. We just saw that.
Yeah, I'm going to probably watch that tomorrow.
Got it.
So no spoilers. And I know because Danielson and Eddie Kingston are wrestling too. So that's going to be a good match. There's actually good matches on Collision tonight, but we're going to do this, so we'll probably have to cover it next episode.
Yes, yes, indeed. We got to make sure we get our NFL picks in. Yeah. The other cool thing, or cool or not, I don't know. I haven't been paying much attention, but I did see it, is we have booked Hammerstone versus FATU 3.
Oh, wow. What's the date on that?
Sometime this month. And it's part of the and then so MLW, I haven't had a chance to check it out, but Tom Lawler's back. Serena De La Renta is gonna do some intergender wrestling thing. So
okay, I might have to check out MLW again.
Yeah, but the Hammerstone FATU is I'm down for that.
That's gonna be awesome.
Yes, indeedy.
That is our first half. We're gonna take a quick powder. We've got football picks to talk about. We've got a mailbag that I cannot wait to get into. And you've got a new tune coming your way right about now. Right into this.
Yeah, we're doing good on time.
We are doing fantastic on time.
So now we get to blow it.
Yep. Once again, we're back with your favorite segment, my favorite segment, Bobby's favorite segment, and Dak Prescott's favorite segment. What do we like to call it?
We like to call it the motherfucking mailbag.
All right, so let's hop right into this.
LimeWire Special asks, the Cardiac Cowboys are back once again, but managed to pull off a win against what once was a struggling Seahawks team.
What is your guys' level of confidence in Dallas to go above 500 in the last stretch of games this season?
Well, 500, they've got... So, the next game they have is against the Eagles, correct?
Yes.
And I believe that's going to be a victory.
I think it's going to be a win, too. They'll play the Eagles better than they played the Seahawks.
Yes.
They played three games in like 11 days. You know, I'm not making excuses for them, but that's going to tire anyone out. The defense didn't show up. We know that. They showed up when it counted, though. So let's give them some kind of kudos for that. But for three quarters of the game, the defense was awful, and you can't be playing like that against good teams because you're going to get carved up.
Yes, indeed. And definitely they need to – like, let's, I mean, DK Metcalf is a good player, but like,
he wasn't doing shit before this game.
No,
the Seahawks weren't doing shit before this game. So that makes me kind of nervous.
It does. But at the same time, I recognize also that, you know, they've lost some dudes and maybe a little bit of scheme here change. And, you know, I have faith in the D coordinator to make some changes and have the team at least schemed up, ready to go. I'm saying a victory versus Philly. Then they go to Buffalo. Buffalo's weird because, like, they may be out of it totally, like, completely.
They're,
but they're dangerous because Josh Allen's pretty good. And, like,
they're a weird team because it's like if they're on, they'll kick your ass. But it's like if they're off, Josh Allen starts throwing picks. If we get him to, like, hurry up early and if the weather's half decent, we have a shot. Like, Buffalo and Miami are two games that I'm very nervous about.
Yeah, Miami is the Christmas Eve game in Miami. And again, the crazy thing is, so for Miami, you know, they are 8-3 now. And depending on how their schedule goes, you know, it'll be interesting to see what their level of, they may be locked into a playoff spot, right?
Yeah.
So they may have already locked up their division. So, but either way, I agree. I'm most scared about that, especially if the defense is struggling because that offense, when it gets going at home, is really tough.
Mm-hmm.
So even if then we're 2-1 and we need to win at least one of the next two games, which is Detroit and Washington. And I think they smoke Detroit and Washington, unless they have it locked up and they don't have to play.
And they don't play anybody.
Play anybody. And then yeah. Washington puts themselves in position for a very not as good a draft pick as they probably could have.
Yeah, they're just playing themselves out of draft picks. So
God, I know it's crazy. But, you know, their job is to play to win. And a lot of these players, it's like they're not going to be on that team next year and they want to make sure there's good tape of them.
Yeah,
that's you know, true. It's like it's such a weird thing when like the fans and management is like, we need to lose these games. And the players are like, fuck you, dude. Like,
no, they don't.
I only have 4 years in the NFL probably. Like,
yeah, they don't want to get such a short shelf life.
Yeah, it's like give them an opportunity to play. Like, I don't know, but I'm
yeah, but so, my level,
go on your level of confidence.
My level of confidence is like mid, it's like you know, like a 4-5. I'm not like because just the good part of this is that they got the wrinkles out of this last game, hopefully, and they can make the adjustments, like you said, to play against these other teams because like they need to. And I'd rather them get the jitters out, the Seahawks game, still make it a win, and then play how they normally have been playing down the stretch. That's super important because it looks like the Eagles are locked in for home field because I saw the tail end of their schedule and they're playing a bunch of tomato cans.
Yeah, I mean, the question for them is basically if they go 0-2 the next 2 weeks, right? If Niners come in and beat them and then Dallas beats them, then you would essentially have, Dallas and Eagles at 10-3, and then it becomes tiebreakers. And I don't know what those are yet because it gets crazy. But right now, it's like the Dallas is 9-3 at the 5. And like, I don't think there's any way if they get to 10 wins, I think they're stuck at 5. And that means we play Atlanta or whoever comes out of that godforsaken division.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much locked in at 5. You know, it's a very like slim chance that they go any higher.
No, and I mean, basically they have to win the division.
Yeah.
And then everybody below them is 6-6, 6-6, 5-6. The Green Bay fucking Packers. The Rams are still sniffing a playoff spot. Like,
right.
So.
But the level of confidence is mid.
So. Mid, but I am, you know, as long as they continue to get better, keep people healthy, I feel like a first round Falcons in Dallas, or it would be,
it would be in Atlanta.
It'd be Atlanta, which is like, whatever. It's like,
that doesn't matter. They'll beat the piss out of them.
Yeah. Fucking Jack Ritter just fucking destroyed, taking out like his name was fucking Tommy DeVito.
Serious.
But anyways, somebody who knows about taking people out, our guy, the Big Perm, asks, I don't know about you guys, but I'm happy that CM Punk is back in WWE. As a fan, I realize how volatile Punk could be. So my question to you guys, since you are betting men, would you take the over-under for CM Punk lasting longer than a year back in WWE? I'll take the over.
I'd take the over because Triple H should keep him in line.
Yeah, and you know, I would say he also looked in way better shape.
Yeah, he didn't actually look like a drug addict.
No, he looked like, and that's probably part of it, is like he wasn't in shape, he got injured, he's old, like, so maybe a little bit. And here's the thing, it's like, I got, you know, we didn't talk about it earlier, but I think a lot of it also is like CM Punk is kind of coming back with his hat in his hand. If Triple H doesn't sign him, he's going to go, what, sign the Big Impact deal? No one's going to give a fuck about that.
Right. No, but
and Phil has an ego.
Oh, he does. I mean, they probably came to a number that Phil liked, and, you know, that's how these things happen. So it's, I didn't think it would happen. I'll admit that. But, like, you know, looking back on it, it's like, you know, crazier things have happened in WWE. Like, people usually do come back. Like, there'll probably be a time where Chris Jericho comes back as much shit as he's talked, but you know, we'll have to just wait and see about that.
Yeah, somebody was yipping and yapping on their podcast and they're like, FTR is gonna put all these, like, dude, Miro's not going back. Why would you go back to that? You're booked terribly. Like, they made yeah. Like, why would, if FTR did that, I would lose so much respect for FTR. Like,
yeah, especially
you got everything you wanted from Tony Khan.
Yeah, like, especially back to a company that doesn't give two shits about tag team wrestling.
Yeah,
like,
no kidding.
The people that are tag team champions right now aren't even a real tag team. And it's been like that before Judgment Day, before Rhodes and Jey Uso. So that just shows you right there.
Yes, it does. All right. Zach Etz Quad asks, Eagles fan here. I like how you Cowboys fans are so proud of yourselves for being in a dogfight with the lowly Seahawks. How do you guys expect to beat the teams left on your schedule when you barely squeaked by Seattle? Looks like the same old Cowboys to me. Fly, Eagles, fly. I don't know. You win games. That's like,
yeah,
that's what matters.
You make the adjustments. And, you know, I get it, Eagles fan. I think that was supposed to say Zach Ertz's quad, whoever you are. Yeah, you're just used to this being good because the Eagles have been very shitty for a long time. Well, they've been up and down. So, and you just won your first title in the first 75 years of the Eagles existing. So congratulations, you got one. So back to your question, how do we barely squeak by? We'll see you next week. And if what I think happens, I'll come back to this question and we'll have a chat.
Yes, indeed. And that wraps up the mailbag. We love all the questions. We love all the feedback. Xander, where can they reach you if they have something to say?
You can get at me on Instagram, Xander Hobbs. It's X-A-N-D-E-R underscore H-O-B-B-E-S. Same thing on Threads. Bobby, where about you? Where can they find you?
They can find me on the IG machine, WrestleOcalypse, spelled like it sounds, but you know that because you are already listening.
And if you are already listening, and if you haven't done so yet, smash the follow button, smash the like button, so that moves us up in the algorithm and brings us more stuff to you. It doesn't cost you anything, but it'll just help us out immensely.
Yes, I agree. All right, buddy, match of the week. You chose this one. It's very, very timely.
Yeah.
What are we watching?
It came up on my feed and I was like, oh, how perfect. and actually WWE sent it to me. It's Hell in a Cell 2009, defending world heavyweight champion CM Punk takes on The Undertaker. So this was wasn't that long of a match, and it wasn't as violent as a lot of Hell in a Cell ones, because I believe this was on the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, which they put a Hell in a Cell match when it didn't need it. But I don't remember what the storyline was going on in this, but I thought this match was decent.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was good. It was 2009 wasn't exactly like the golden era.
No.
So, and you could tell they're Undertaker had a lot more matches behind him than was going to be ahead of him. So, but overall, I thought it was a good match. Hell in a Cell is always kind of gimmicky anyways. So,
yeah, I just saw it because it came up on my feed, and then I figured, you know, with CM Punk being back, and it would be a bad match to cover. But you can find this on Peacock or on YouTube. If you want to check it out, see who CM Punk is, who we were talking about, check him out. This was in his earlier years. So it was good. Not Samoa Joe versus CM Punk trilogy good, but it was good.
No, but there's a few things that are.
Yeah.
But yeah, awesome. So other than wrestling, what else are you watching?
I watched this YouTube channel called The Dak Attack. And it's about this guy who goes on and he covers what these pundits or quote unquote analysts say on things like ESPN about how they, you know, overly drag down the Cowboys while other teams have the same struggles. So he just calls them out and how it gives them receipts and, you know, makes them sound dumb. Tom Downey for the Chat Sports Report, very Cowboys heavy. We're coming to an important part of the season, so I got to stay on my P's and Q's just to make sure I shut down the haters when they start talking shit. That's about it though. Bobby, what have you been watching?
So we've busted out all the Christmas movies. It's that time of year. We don't got a lot of time before Christmas comes and goes. So definitely have been checking out we've already watched National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, which is always one of my favorites. Both the OG animated Grinch and the more recently animated one by DreamWorks. And then last night we got the Charlie Brown Christmas checked off the list. So slowly but surely, and I can't remember the name of it. There was a movie in like, I don't know, 2000, in the mid-2010s about the National Lampoon, like the creation of the National Lampoon magazine.
Oh, really?
And yeah. And how it then translated into the movie. And it's really good.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's called, it's like, I don't know. Look it up. It's Betty Rebel and I watched it last week, I think. And so it's really good. They talk about making Animal House. They have the scene where him, where the creator of National Lampoon's and Chevy Chase are like at a rehab, and Chevy Chase gets these tennis balls sent and they open one and just full of fucking cocaine. And just like the hedonism and what they were doing back then, and kind of how like a lot of those people ended up at Saturday Night Live and stuff. So
what platform is this on?
Netflix.
What's it called again?
I don't know. Here, let me check. Let me get off this fucking Bing nonsense. A Futile and Stupid Gesture.
Okay, I'm going to check that out.
And it's about the co-founder, Doug Kenny. And it's good. It's really good.
All right, give it to me one more time. Futile
and Stupid Gesture.
And Stupid Gesture.
Yeah. Betty Rebel found that with her eagle eye.
Netflix. All right, cool. I'm going to check that out. It's always good to have new shit to watch.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to do your get rid of one, or do we want to get into the games?
Let's do my get rid of one. So you did the last one, and you did the like the OG 88, like who's the best 88s, right?
Yeah.
So what I wanted to do is I looked up, and it's weird. I did some research on the actual thing, like the Thanksgiving Day games. And so our get rid of win is other than, so we're taking the Cowboys out because that it would take, that would, it would skew the results a little bit. So we have four teams. These are some of the teams who have played the most over the history of the Thanksgiving game. And we're going to get rid of the one team that no matter what, even as much as we may not want to talk to our family, we're not watching that fucking game. So the one that comes to mind first off for a lot of people is probably the Detroit Lions. They play right now. They have been for a while. They play a Thanksgiving game. Their football prowess waxes and wanes. Another one is the Minnesota Vikings. And some of these are a little weird because I feel it's because they were playing division games on Thanksgiving, which they don't really do anymore as often. But this one came up. I like this one. Houston Oilers. And the last one, New York Giants.
Oh. So we're picking the game that we won't watch.
Right.
So, yeah, so if it's the Giants versus the Lions, yeah, I'm not gonna watch that.
But what if it's the Giants versus, like, I don't know, what if it's the Giants versus some other team? These are the ones that have played like most all through history. It's not like,
okay.
So you're like, oh, it's a fucking Giants game. I'm not watching the Giants. Oh, fuck the Oilers. I'm never watching the Oilers. Who wants to watch that amazing quarterback, Warren Moon?
Yeah, I'm not watching the Giants. Straight up.
Just out of hatred.
Yeah.
Just out of flat out, you're not getting my Nielsen number.
Do you hear that, haters? This is what we do when teams we don't like. We don't watch them. But you guys seem to be watching Cowboys games.
Obsessed.
Notice with that? Cowboys. Obsessed. Rent free. We live rent free in your heads.
Yes. I was going to go with the Lions because historically, I just remember the Lions being terrible teams and those games always being awful. They're always the earliest games. Oftentimes they lost. Oftentimes they lost to the Packers.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Brett Favre era and whatnot. So, like, it was just like, oh, the Lions. And it was, for us, it's earlier because we're West Coast.
Yeah, that game was like 9.
Yeah, it's like there's other stuff going on in the day. It's like, no, I'm going to pass on that. I mean, that's why the Cowboys play at prime time, middle of the day.
Back in the days when the beginning of Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving morning would happen, I wouldn't be rolling out of bed till like 11:30 or noon anyways, because we'd be out the night before. And so be up just in time for the Cowboys game. But
just in time.
Yeah.
That was a throwback to Thanksgiving. Offsides and delay of game continues on, marches on. Great, like we talked about a little bit, great win by the Cowboys. The hard-fought win, that's how football is. You know, the defense didn't play as good, and the offense was there to pick it up, which lots of times doesn't happen. Certainly didn't against the Cardinals. So
yeah, and people were saying like how like all of a sudden now Seattle was a tomato can because, you know, we beat them. But Seattle was also playing for a playoff spot too, a possible playoff spot. So they had something to play for. People like forget that, you know.
Well, yeah. And the thing that I think is stupid too, is it's like, you know, they're like Dallas, of all the teams that Dallas has played this season, that like none of them are like they beat. It's like, but the Jets were 1-0. Like, I mean, it's just, they pick these weird stats and like to bolster their argument, but it's like 9-3. There's 9 wins and 3 losses. Like, if you want to compare them to another 9-3 team, then you could get into like, well, this team beat these, like whatever. I get that, but like these wins don't matter because it, like, I'm sorry, this is fucking NFL. The Bears have a win. Like, yeah. Anybody can beat anybody, and like we talked about, these fucking players have pride. Like, if. So it just the fact of the matter that it's like, if you beat a team you're supposed to beat, you get no credit. And if you lose to them, we're going to fucking pet.
We're going
to
bury you. Yeah, it's a lose-lose situation. Like, and it's like constant goalpost moving. It's just so freaking crazy. And did you see how happy Richard Sherman was in the first half of the Thursday night game? Oh my God. That guy was like giddy like a little schoolgirl. I wish I could have seen his face at the end of that game. And he didn't even have the balls to show up on Undisputed the next day.
That's funny. That is funny. But yes, it was a good win. I think we talked about it. We'll see what happens. We'll be talking about it next week. But let's get into our picks. So the first one is we have the Dolphins at the Commanders. I picked this one because the line is huge. It is 9 points, tied for the highest line of the night. Also, over under 49.5 points, which is kind of crazy if you think about it, because that's taking 20% of the points they plan of their over and under for the Dolphins to win by, right?
Right.
So I don't think the Commanders are total dog shit, and it is at home. So I think I'm going to pick Miami. I'm going to pick Miami in the under.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. And so here's the thing.
So essentially it's 50 points to win.
So yeah.
It's 50 points to win. So that's like, okay.
I don't know if, I mean, I don't know if the Commanders, I think it's probably more likely it's going to be like a 26 to 13 game. Like, that's why I think it's gonna be like cover and under, like, you know, they'll probably be ahead and, that's just what I think. I mean, obviously, Tyreek Hill can get off and like all those
things. You don't think they'll score over 30 points apiece?
No, I don't.
I'm taking Miami and the over just to be different.
Yeah, I like it. Miami's a weird team, man. Like, they haven't really looked like world beaters like they did earlier in the season.
Yeah, I know.
But Tyreek Hill is pretty dynamic, and so is Tua. Their coach is smart. The defense, their running back is a stud.
Yeah, they click on all cylinders on offense. I believe their defense is a little suspect. That's what I think. But I don't know.
All right. The next game is the Chiefs versus the Packers. This is in Green Bay. The Chiefs are favored by 6 points, and the over-under is 42.5. Who are you picking?
I'll take KC. And the over? No, change it to the under. Change it to under.
Jordan Love versus Patrick Mahomes. Last time we saw Patrick Mahomes, was he coming off the field as a loser?
When they lost to the Eagles?
Yeah, they've played since then.
They won, though, because they played the Raiders.
Ah, that's right, the Raiders.
They beat their ass.
I would hope so.
I don't know. I'm not confident in my pick on that. So
no. I'm gonna go KC and under. I don't think that Jordan Love is. Well, it's in
Green Bay, and like,
yeah, I'm gonna take Packers in the under.
Yeah,
might be cold.
Okay. Yep.
KC plays outside too, though.
Yeah, but it's on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
It's not frozen yet. I don't know. I don't like that game.
So. I don't either, but it was the next highest spread. So that's why I picked it. This game, Bengals versus Jaguars, which is probably not a game I would necessarily want to watch, but somehow Trevor Lawrence is getting 9 points against an NFL team.
No, the Bengals are getting 9 points.
No, Jacksonville is.
Jacksonville's plus 9?
No. Jacksonville, I'm saying as favored by 9. I apologize. Okay. My terminology. Yes. The Bengals only need to lose by 8 to cover.
Yes.
I'm taking the Bengals to cover and the under. I don't trust Trevor. He's had some good games, but he's due for a flop. The spread is really big. I mean, I couldn't tell you who's starting for the Bengals, but
I don't know. I don't like any of these picks. I'll take Jacksonville in the under.
This is why, if you don't like the games, we don't bet on them.
I'm considering not even doing my pick'ems this week because, like, it's just such bullshit.
They're such terrible games. They are very, very bad when I went through them. And that's why I just relied on the spreads because
I don't even know if I want to even watch any of these. I don't even want to watch these. Watch like Ink Master or something.
Right. Sunday in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's supposed to be 35 with a mix of rain and snow.
Oh.
We're looking 1 p.m. 73% chance of snow. So we'll see.
Definitely glad I picked the under on that.
Yeah, me too. All right, last one. We have 1, 2, 3. Oh, I accidentally picked one too many. We're not going to talk about that god-awful game.
Oh, good.
So last one, obviously, Niners-Eagles. San Francisco going into Philly favored by 3. That's because of how much they think of Brock Purdy and his explosive offense. The over-under, 47.5. I was surprised. I guess that's respect of the defense. I thought it'd be a little bit higher when if we looked at Dolphins Commanders had an over-under of 49.5. I'm picking the Niners.
I'm picking the Niners too.
I think the Niners are going to win. I know that the Eagles have kept getting it done and kept getting it done, but
They're going to run out of luck pretty soon here. That's what I think.
Yeah.
The only reason they beat the Chiefs because the Chiefs receivers can't catch anything.
Yeah, that was atrocious. So, but we're up against the clock. So I'm going Niners, and I'm going to go with the over. It's going to be a shootout. And Christian McCaffrey's going to have like 3 touchdowns. He's going to vault it up to the MVP status, and then he's going to get injured the next week.
I'll take the same.
All right. Wrapping up this fantastic episode of the Wrestleocalypse. We are prepped and ready. The main event just ended, but it's a surprise. Bobby B is backstage. The crowd's going to go wild when my music hits, and I'm coming out to a song called San Francisco Nights by a band called People Under the Stairs, and it's cool hip hop-ish kind of tune, and I really like it. I think it'd be cool to come out to. So here we go. Check it out now, please.
Radio and hell bop on the Bay Bridge faded, trying to find Smiley's house. Thank God we made it. Yo, blunts, broads, and beats keeping low through the streets. And niggas giving us pounds because of these dope ass sounds. We run aground like ships over these beats. I flips the bass is hitting so hard that you'll see these skips. We'll check it out. Make sure it doesn't happen.
Groovy. I dig it. I like People Under the Stairs. Yeah, just cool song.
That was a good movie too.
Sounds scary.
It was. Oh, I was scared of it watching it when I was a kid, at least. And I digress. I'm coming out to this band who are doing their final tour, and they're calling it a career. It's Sum 41. And this is off the album, Does This Look Infected? And the song is called Mr. Amsterdam. So this one was cool because Sum 41 always had like metal licks. Like they'd have little songs that have like heavy metal licks in them and stuff like that. And then they'd do this like pop punk stuff. So I've always wanted them to lean towards more of their heavier side. In this album they do. And then the album after it, they do as well. So it's really cool. And you can just check it out right now. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad. I mean, you know, bands can't be around forever. So
I mean, they're just probably over it. And I guess the singer, Derek Whibley, went through a lot. Like,
yeah,
like he had like some demons that he had to conquer. And maybe they're just tired. It's not an easy life.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, we're seeing that a lot with, you know, it seems like bands are on their final. I want to say Kiss is finishing up their final tour.
Yeah, we'll see if that holds any water. But NoFX is doing their final run.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like it's going to be about cheap tickets. I think are $150 for one single day. And if you want to get all three, it's $250.
Right.
Because that's what's punk rock now. $100 tickets. Yeah. I wonder too. It's like, I want to see how much it's going to cost to see Green Day with Rancid.
Oh my God, that's going to be like super pricey.
Yeah, because they're playing like fucking SoFi and shit, like, or YouTube Theater. They're playing big shit, dude.
Green Day and Rancid playing like arenas.
Yeah, it's crazy. I never
thought that would be a thing.
And here we are, 2023. Strange times.
Soon to be four.
Tell me about it.
But you know what? We can't top that.
No, we can't. Sorry.
Yours truly, Xander Hobbs.
Ours truly in this life, Bobby B.
And we're always reminding you to show empathy, protect the environment, defend the animals, and support the WrestleLocalypse.
Booyakasha.